Listen closely. That's not just paint rolling on a wall. It's artistry. A master painter carefully applying Benjamin Moore Regal Select Eggshell with deftly executed strokes. The roller, lightly cradled in his hands, applying just the right amount of paint. It's like hearing poetry in motion. Benjamin Moore, see the love.
And week two of NFL action is upon us. Welcome to NFL Live, everybody. Marcus Spears, Keyshawn Johnson, Dan Orlovsky.
You guys are very, I brought some color to this.
Key, it's good to see you in the flesh, bro. I've been seeing you through the screen for
the whole year.
Yeah, no doubt.
I like guys, he's wearing Cowboys blue. I just want to make sure everybody notices. All right, we got a whole lot more coming your way today. Coming later, the reason the Titans need to be a throw-first team, even with Derrick Henry in their offense. But let's start with Adam Schefter. Adam, some huge names dealing with injuries in the NFL. Give us some updates, starting with Odell Beckham Jr. and everything going on with him right now.
Well, Laura, today the Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski said he was going to remove any drama surrounding Odell Beckham Jr. this week and already has ruled him out for Sunday's game against the Houston Texans. Last week, they didn't feel great about him playing, went into pregame warmups, did not feel comfortable going out. And so today, in the middle of the week, Stefanski removes the drama and says Odell Beckham Jr. will not be out there Sunday, not even a question to be asked about him moving forward. Meanwhile, the New York Giants are listing running back Saquon Barkley as questionable for Thursday night's game against the Washington football team. On the same injury report, they've already ruled out their tight end Evan Engram, who will not play against Washington. Now, even though Barkley is listed as questionable, the feeling is, barring a setback, he still will play against Washington. And the Washington football team will be without Ryan Fitzpatrick, who officially has been placed on injured reserve, which means it's Taylor Heineke time. Kyle Allen is a backup. And no, Washington does not seem inclined at this point in time to sign Cam Newton, despite the fact that Cam Newton played with Ron Rivera in Carolina. They want Heineke and Allen to be able to get the job done at this time.
Yeah, it's interesting, Adam. Still feels like we're waiting for a team to take a chance a little bit on Cam Newton. Adam just like went right back down to the ground, but he'll come back out of that ground a little later on. We'll see more of him.
A shot, right?
Fascinating week two matchup between the Cowboys and Chargers. Cowboys coming off a week one loss. The Chargers had a win, but we'll see what happens here with this team. Dak Prescott was phenomenal in the loss. In fact, he leads the NFL with 46.7 pass attempts per game over the last two seasons. Think about the Cowboys offense, though. There were some positives. Red zone efficiency was tough. Four red zone drives. Week one, only one touchdown coming out of that. And when it comes to these Cowboys and Dak's last five games, he's thrown for over 400 yards in four of them. The sole exception, week five last season when he had the injury. Beyond the yards and touchdowns, Dak's averaging an NFL high 47 attempts a game over the last two seasons. Mike McCarthy talking earlier about how they need to have more balance on offense.
You think?
I mean, really, I think it comes down to what's the definition of balance. And I think sometimes when the word balance is thrown out there, it gets put in the view of it needs to be in a run or pass category. And that's not really true. I know I say this all the time, but he's the same guy every day. I mean, he's in the quarterback meetings earlier, so he's all football. He understands exactly the why of what we're doing. So he's definitely on board.
Told you Adam was back. Want to start with Adam here. Cowboys may want to get Zeke going, right? But they have a lot of moving parts on their O-line right now. What can you tell us there?
Well, Laura, one of the key parts of this team for years has been the strength of its offensive line. And in recent years, due to injuries and various other circumstances, the Cowboys have struggled to overcome some of the setbacks they've had up front. Now, there's good and bad news up front right now for the Dallas Cowboys. First, they get Zach Martin, their guard, off the reserve COVID list, and it looks like he's on track to be able to play. On the other hand, their tackle, Lael Collins, is serving a five-game suspension for violations of the substance abuse policy. He's appealing that suspension. We'll see whether or not he's able to get it overturned at all. But in the interim, they get back Martin, lose Collins, and continue to not be able to play at full strength on what should be one of the stronger units on the team.
Let's talk a little more about this Cowboys offense, because I think when everybody looks at it, last week was a positive in a lot of ways, right, Marcus, to open the season. But what needs to change for the Cowboys?
Zeke got to be featured much more. And that's not, it's not about just turning around and handing the ball off, but you got to get the ball in his hands.
Okay.
And this is not going to be, this formula that we saw against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a lot to do with what was available. Like, I'm not naive to not think that they had advantages on the back end with guys being injured and one-on-one matchups that they wanted to exploit. But this is not going to be conducive to a successful football season for the Dallas Cowboys. That 50 passes in a game is not conducive to winning a lot of games in this league, and it's especially not conducive to keeping your quarterback healthy who's just come off of a major injury. So, look, I think when, because Dan hates this, but I think when I say balance, what I mean is you have to find ways to get your playmakers the ball.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about turn around and you hand it off in single back or 11 personnel. Run some screens. Get the ball out of your hands quick to Zeke on maybe a swing and see if he can make create. I like Pollard as well, too. Get him involved in some quick pass situations. You know you can go downfield and you have those, but these guys need to be featured because 58 passes ain't going to get it done for the rest of the season.
Well, if they go 58 passes against this defense, it's going to be trouble.
Absolutely.
Pass defense for the – I almost call them the San Diego Chargers, even though they've been in L.A. for quite some time.
Don't wrap yourself out there, Keith.
The L.A. Chargers, you look at what they were able to do against, and I wouldn't call the Washington football team a juggernaut in the passing game, but they surrendered 133 yards in the air, okay? They allowed them to only get 3 first downs. I mean, 15 first downs, converting 3 of 10 on third down. That's a disaster.
Yeah.
And Dallas think that they're going to come in the Los Angeles and not utilize Ezekiel Elliott. You're asking yourself for a whole lot of trouble.
Yeah, I'd say, first of all, the pass attempts in the last 5 games are a little bit skewed, right, because they were so bad early on. And that was necessary against Tampa Bay. I agree. They actually have to run the football more.
What?
You love me hearing me say that, right? But I would say to run it, the wide receivers are the most important aspect this week. Now, 2 things, 1 throw and 1 pass game related to the Chargers. Number 1, since Lyle Collins is not out, you better not single him up at all against Bosa, that new right tackle. And 2, you got to find the fitter in the run game because you're going to get so much shell defense from the Chargers. Singling up Bosa, no matter what look you get, make sure that you slide towards that right tackle, even if it forces Zeke to be in protection. Find the fitter, you're going to get shell defenses. Bottom of the screen. That safety at the bottom is the fitter when you're going to get a shell defense in a light box. You want to run the ball, great. But that wide receiver, so that means Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, those guys are going to have to go dig out those safeties.
I laugh because who's going to do that?
Exactly. That's why I'm saying the receivers are the most important.
You say CeeDee Lamb, he's going to turn that down. And Amari Cooper not really trying to go in there.
That's my point, Keith.
That's the thing. And if you get into a nasty split situation, now you're going to bring Derwin James all the way down the box.
Right.
Or whoever else, they're going to tighten everything.
They're going to bring more people to the party.
Bring more people to the party.
But that's the reality is. And this is the thing that's going to go around the NFL. Everyone should pay attention. It's around the NFL, you're going to get a lot more shell defenses, 2 high safety defenses. And they're going to dare teams to run the football. And the goal for every offense is you got to find the fitter. Is it the nickel?
100%.
Is it the safety from the field or the box? And then how do you handle the fitter is a big question.
We keep talking about the run game, and maybe they do need to run the football more in the Cowboys situation. And some people are like, man, Zeke's lost it. Zeke lost it?
No, Zeke has not lost
it.
Zeke can play at a high level. Look, listen, this is one of the biggest misnomers in the NFL.
Right.
That Zeke Elliott somehow ain't a good football player anymore. This has not – last year, the dude rushed for 979. The fumbles was the thing that was polarized. 979 behind that O-line tells me that you are a pretty good running back still in this league. They have to be creative in getting him the ball in space. There is no longer single back, Zeke, make it happen.
Right.
That's over with. They got to figure out another way to get him involved.
If those wide receivers don't block this weekend, they will not run the ball and they will
lose. It'll be a problem.
Well, we got that settled. Yep. This game is Sunday. According to FPI, it's the toughest matchup of the week to decide which way it's going to go. So it's a very even matchup. Let's get some quick reads on some other games. Some of these teams sitting at 0-1. Dan, what do the Pats need to change heading into their matchup with the Jets?
Yeah, I'd say be who you are. You're notoriously known as an organization that does not give football games away. Those 2 fumbles by both backs in scoring area was huge for your football team. Make sure that we protect the ball. And then DBs, make some plays on the ball downfield. You know, Devontae Parker, there was two or three balls that Tua Tagovailoa threw up. And it was my guy versus your guy. You're going to have more opportunities this week and make some plays on the football on the back end.
Marcus, what do the Packers need to change heading into the matchup with the Lions?
Listen, I know it's polarizing to talk about Aaron Rodgers and his offense. The defense gave up 38 points, and the secondary was horrid. I don't know what the communication situations were. They let guys get deep and behind them in coverage. It was guys running wide open all day in this football game. I don't know what the reason is, but if they don't get that fixed, they can cancel a Super Bowl dream.
Key, another 0-1 team. What does Baltimore need to change? They host the Chiefs Sunday night.
One thing I'll say, Laura, you mean 0-2. I'm going to correct you right there because they play the Chiefs, and it is not going to go pretty for them whatsoever. I already got them losing this football game. But it's the secondary. You cannot allow individuals to get inside when you are matched up man-to-man. I understand Marcus Peters is not in the lineup. You're missing key components there. But whoever's out on that field, when you allow the guys to get over the top like they did in overtime, you are going to lose football games.
All right, man, Key's already telling the Ravens they lost the game.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We tell you about Monday Night Football. It's back. Jared Goff and the Lions taking on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers at Lambeau, 8 Eastern. ESPN, ESPN Deportes, ESPN app, ESPN2 has Monday Night Football with Peyton and Eli Manning. Coverage begins with Monday Night Countdown at 6 Eastern. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, let's read and react. And Rodgers had a historically no good, very rotten, bad day in week one. The 35-point loss, the worst in his career. Sunday was also just the third time in his career throwing multiple picks and zero touchdowns. That led him to a 13 QBR, worst in week one this season. Rodgers' former teammate Jermichael Finley was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning, concerned with what he has seen from Rodgers
really
leading up to the season. Here's what he had to say about that.
It's the National Football League. Each offseason, you got to work like it's the last season. And I just don't see a work ethic in Aaron Rodgers that I have in previous years. And actually, you can see it right through his helmet. The eyes and the face tells everything of the personality. And I just don't see it, that NFL hunger and just still hungry to go win another championship.
Key, that's your show. Great show, by the way. Said it on your show. What's your reaction?
Yeah, I like Finn. I've been knowing Finn for a very long time, and I understand what he's saying about Aaron Rodgers, but also at the same time, it sounds like a little bit of a resentment for some apparent reason with him and Aaron Rodgers has been going back to the past. But look, you cannot be good at what you do if you do not practice on a consistent basis with your teammates, and we clearly see what happened in the Saints game.
Yeah, no preseason for Aaron Rodgers. Maybe that did affect all of this. All right, let's talk about the Browns and Baker Mayfield. What a task week one for them against the Chiefs. And Baker had a great game until the very end, the interception with a minute and 16 left in the game. It's something that he's going to continue to think about, and the loss still stings.
We should beat ourselves up about it because, you know, we feel like we should have won that game, but there is 16 more. So it's the mentality of, hey, we got to go up the next week and go do our job, but this one should sting. This one should sting, and you need to learn from it because we had that game and we need to, you know, close it out.
Marcus, you like that attitude?
Yeah, I do like that attitude from Baker, and you've been seeing this maturity take place. I wish he would have used I, though, instead of we, because from quarterbacks, especially in that leadership role, you want to hear him say, I need to get us a better shot at winning the football game. I need to put us in a position to win. And I'm sure he's thinking that way. You saw him hurt from the mistake that he made at the end of the game. But Baker is fine. He played tremendous throughout this game. But this is what he's going to have to answer if they plan on winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, they may have another opportunity against the Chiefs later on. Let's get to Joe Burrow and the Bengals. First game back from injury, and a big one for him. You see him there targeting Ja'Marr Chase. He even said in the postgame press conference, hey, didn't that guy have all the drops you guys worried about? A little LSU swagger there as those teammates were reunited. Here's Burrow on his return to the game.
You know, my knee was pretty sore for, you know, right after the game, but no, I feel better than I have all camp right now, so that's a good sign. You know, overall, I think I played a pretty good game, good enough to win. But we're going to keep getting better every week, and I'm excited to do that.
Like this, I take this very personal with Joe Burrow. Get your protections right Cincinnati.
Is that him?
Or is it everybody? It's everybody. Okay. It's everybody. Everybody's got to take ownership of that stuff. It's not just the quarterback. It's not just the offensive line. It's not the coaches. If everybody's on the same page, we're all going to be okay.
Yeah.
We're all going to, but they got to get it right.
Yeah, no doubt. Everyone wants
Calm
to see
down,
Joe
dude.
Burrow protected.
Nah, man,
I
right.
Actually, you know what?
It's
I'll let him get
stuff.
Fired up about that.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Jalen Hurts this year is on a mission.
Move out the way, I'm making a play. Every road deep, don't act hard.
This guy can really play.
Back goes Hurts. He is firing for Devontae Smith for a touchdown.
Touchdown! Touchdown!
What a throw! And the Eagles have struck.
I'm the real deal, and it doesn't matter what you heard about. Heard about. Got a lot to go and prove.
Never satisfied.
Second-year quarterback Jalen Hurts understood the starting assignment, guys. Sunday was Hurts' third game with at least 250 passing yards, 50 rushing yards. That's tied with fellow OU quarterback Kyler Murray for most in NFL over the past two seasons. Remember, Jalen has started 5 games in that span to Kyler's 17, so certainly a difference there in the amount of play time. Sal Palantonio joining us now live from Philadelphia after a great week one. Sal, we heard the quarterback Jalen Hurts speak today. What more can you tell us about what you're learning there in Philly?
Well, justifiable excitement here in Philadelphia about the Philadelphia Eagles because of this one fact. This is the largest margin of victory in a week one game by an Eagles rookie head coach in the Super Bowl era. And now they know, come the hard part on Sunday, playing a 49ers team that is much better, and they got to do it at home, and they got to do it all over again, and Jalen Hurts knows it.
You never want to get too high or low, you know, and you know, I said it after the game, a 24-hour rule, you know, we're on to the 49ers and we're preparing for them. So just kind of take it and go. We're all aware we're going against a really good defense, a really good team, very good and active front seven. You know, they're really good up front, so we have to be prepared for them up front.
It's just that you can win round one, and if you're sitting in the corner thinking about how good you fought round one, you're going to get your butt kicked in round two. It's unbelievable, this game. I mean, I love this game, and so it's like a heavyweight prize fight. You know, all those people pay all that money to go see that, or to go see it and to the pay-per-view to see it. Like, it's the comparison that every game is a heavyweight championship bout. So it's a couple different modes. Like, yes, it's playing the next play and playing the next game mode, but it's also like every round freaking matters, and let's go.
You know, Nick Sirianni told his team, in all honesty, we won one game. We got to do it all over again on Sunday. Laura?
Yeah, the Eagles are seeking their first 2-0 start since 2016 when they started 3-0. Sal Powell, thanks so much for joining us here. The latest from Jalen Hurts in camp there in Philly. You know, Key, I think a lot of people that know Jalen Hurts are not surprised by any of this, right? He's been at a competitively high level for his entire career, even going all the way back to high school. But then there are some people who are still surprised. What stood out to you about Hurts on Sunday?
Well, first of all, what stood out most is zero turnovers, no interceptions, right? That's big. You're going to win a lot of football games if the quarterback can keep the ball and not give it to the other team. He completed 77% of his passes. They went out and got Devontae Smith, first-round pick. He delivered. Jalen Rigger finally showing up in the National Football League. So when you look at those sort of things, Laura, you're going to get productivity out of the quarterback position. Plus, he looks right.
What do you mean by that?
Just when he walks, his presence.
Yeah.
It just looks right. That makes everybody else around him feel extremely good. You don't want a quarterback that looks like, oh, well, it's a tough day today. He gives you the confidence that you can go out there and you can win football games. And when you talk about people being negative, that goes all the way back to Alabama when he lost his starting job.
Right.
He's a second-round pick. If he was a first-round pick, people wouldn't have that. Think about the first-round picks in this year's draft. They talk positive about him. Think about the first-round picks in last year's draft. They talk positive about him. That is what happens when people set narratives.
Key, that's exactly it. When you are a first-round pick, you get more slack. When you're a second-round pick, there are more doubts cast your way. And I think people have wondered all along how Jalen Hurts would respond to this season being given the starting job in Philadelphia, even though they waited until after the preseason until officially naming him starter. And then he comes out in the first game against Atlanta, lights up the Falcons defense, and yes, maybe Atlanta's not one of the top defenses in the league, but it's still a road game for a team that struggled last year, and this is the most excited that Philadelphia has been about its football team in over a year right now. And again, you just have to take a look at what's going on in the market. If you take a look, Jalen Hurts jersey sales, and I posted this on my Instagram account today, have surged 500% since the game on Sunday. And look at the first comment as soon as I posted that, from Dwayne Wade himself saying that Jalen Hurts is a winner, point blank, period. One winner calling another guy a winner, and I think that tells you a little bit about the type of respect that Jalen Hurts has in the community.
Yeah, you know, guys, it's interesting because all the way back to his college days, a lot of times Jalen Hurts would be a guy that would get criticism. We've talked about that a lot. But unlike some players who are affected negatively by criticism, Jalen Hurts is the opposite. He's like, bring it on. I want to hear all of it because it actually fuels him to be even better. There's something about him that's always liked to prove those doubters wrong. I think we're watching that now at the NFL level, which is really interesting to see because some of these players, right, and I get it, you sort of crumble under these bright lights. Jalen Hurts instead likes to prove people wrong. He's done that throughout his career. He's going to continue to try and do it there in Philly. Another chance to do it this week. This new on NFL Live from Todd Archer, our Cowboys reporter. He says defensive end DeMarcus Lawrence suffered a foot injury in Wednesday's practice. Listen, sorry, Marcus is leaving the set now. Randy Gregory's potential absence due to COVID and the Cowboys pass rush look a lot different Sunday against the Chargers. Marcus.
I can't take this, bro.
Hey, get back in the light, though. Yeah,
what do
you think?
Man.
Be 21 about it.
I need defensive improvement. I need two of the best defenders to be out there when we're trying to improve defensively. Yeah, I said we. I'm biased, okay?
Both of you are.
But here's the thing, man. Like, now you got Lyle, you got Zach coming back. It's so many moving parts. There needs to be some consistency in Dallas. Please.
You got out of character there for a minute.
Please.
And, you get on top of that, you get ready to see potentially a top five quarterback in the next couple years.
No, lose anyway.
All right. Anyway, we've already moved on here in the studio because we're going to Sam Darnold. We have moved to Sam Darnold. He had a big win against his old team. A little bit of revenge, maybe, even though he said it wasn't a revenge game.
Yeah,
the
right.
Highlight of the game, 57-yard touchdown to former Jets teammate Robbie Anderson. That pass traveled 45 yards downfield, the deepest completion of Darnold's career. He was 2 of 15 on throws 40 yards downfield in his career before that. So, touchdown, also Darnold's first off-play action since 2019. New team, new you, right? Dan, what did you see, though, from Darnold on Sunday?
Yeah, number one, his eyes didn't bounce. You know, that was something that he did do while his time with the Jets, meaning, you know, he would go short, deep to short. with his eyes. I look short, I look deep, I look short, or he would go left, right, left. You know, that's when your eyes bounce like that. You don't know what you're looking at. Oh, is somebody open, you know? And so there was, once you start left and you move across the field, that's great. And then when and where? When's the ball supposed to leave my hands and where is it supposed to go? You know, when I say that, I'm meaning anticipation and accuracy. I like that. A big time out of him was on display. And then the most important thing for me was there was not a single moment when he was careless with the football. Not a single moment. And that was kind of the storyline of his time with the Jets is, oh, he's so great, but there's two or three plays a game where he's stupid with the ball. If he can continue to build on the third thing, then not a single moment of careless with the football, Sam Darnold's talent will continue to shine, and he will become a top 10 quarterback in the NFL.
Wow.
It's amazing what competent.
I was just about to say it's amazing.
Like, it's amazing what competent coaching can do, man.
No doubt.
Like, listen. I know I railed on Adam Gase when Sam was in New York, but you also, when you look at Sam Darnold and you think about what we saw from him and Jameis Winston, that should tell everybody how important it is for your quarterback to be confident in the message that he's getting from his offense coordinator.
Louder.
Even when we talked about Carson going reconnect with Frank Reich, that relationship from a football standpoint and understanding is what we thought. Here's the thing I love from Sam Darnold. He didn't see ghosts, right? No pun intended. But the bottom line is decisiveness. Yeah. All good quarterbacks play with decisiveness.
Yeah.
Like, we talk about the arm strength, the off angle, the arm angles, all of this great stuff that all of these quarterbacks do. Decisive quarterbacks win in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And Sam Darnold looked as decisive in this game than he's looked his entire career with the New 100%. York Jets.
Wow. Marcus, you said he didn't see ghosts.
No, he didn't. He saw Christian McCaffrey. So whenever you got a guy like Christian McCaffrey in your backfield, it makes everything easy for you.
Yeah.
He was messing around with Frank Gore, not Frank Gore 2006. He was messing around with Le'Veon Bell, not Le'Veon Bell 2014. Truth. I mean, so when you got playmakers, you're allowed to do certain things. You're allowed to say, I'm a swing pass to you. The coach, because Dan knows as a quarterback, the coach is telling you, if it's not there, check it down. You got
right,
McCaffrey.
Right.
Now that's going to put us in second and four.
Yeah.
Okay, because he's going to give us six automatically. Yeah. Now we can go over the top with Robbie Anderson or DJ Moore. It makes life a whole lot easier when you got damn players.
Real quick, because some people were saying, we check down Charlie, the throws to Christian McCaffrey. Sean McVay said something to me one time. He said, it's the right play because it's the only play.
Right. Yes.
You know, and that's when you really get to a good spot as a quarterback, when sometimes the check down is the only place to go with the football. It's the right play because it's the only play.
It limits those mistakes.
For sure.
Guys, this is interesting. Apparently, there's a little wagering going on in the Panthers clubhouse. Keep talking about the relationship with Christian McCaffrey. Look at this right here. David Newton, our Panthers reporter, Christian McCaffrey said he didn't have a wager with Panthers quarterback Sam Darnold on the Stanford Southern Cal game. And then he adds, I should have, though.
I bow out.
Man.
I'm about
to Stanford won that one 42-28. Key, we did this especially for you. Got our USC guy up in here. So what do you got, Key?
Happens to me every other day.
It happened a lot lately, though.
Man.
It happened a lot lately.
You got any guesses who the
do y'all even have a football program? Y'all coach quit.
We
better be quiet.
My program, we talking about yours.
But we will be talking about yours if you keep trying to do that.
Y'all coach quit.
All of our programs are a little bit of struggle bus.
Now, mine's doing pretty good.
Laura,
maybe
no,
not.
Talk to us on Monday.
Hey, I don't know, Laura. Who knows? Somebody that can help us and take us back to the promised land.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I mean, week one was so much fun. Brought a lot of surprises, a little dose of humility for some. For just the third time in his career, speaking of the humility, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers held to 3 points or less. 35-point loss was the worst in Rodgers' career. Another surprise, Buffalo went into the half up 10 against the Steelers, but after letting up 6 in the third and 17 in the fourth, the Bills took the loss 23-16. The Titans, highly touted offense, wasn't much help for Ryan Tannehill, who was sacked 6 times, 5 at the hands of Chandler Jones. They lost 38-13. Adam, let's go to you here. What stood out to you from the Titans last week when you think about some of the changes that have happened on the coaching staff?
Well, listen, they went through a bout with COVID all summer where there were a lot of players and coaches dealing with it. And then we have on Sunday the first game without the offensive coordinator Arthur Smith, who took the head coaching job in Atlanta. The new offensive coordinator Todd Downing comes in. He's going to do a good job, but this is still an adjustment for this team to get used to somebody not being there who was as imaginative and creative as Arthur Smith was. And now the team is 0-1. There were failings across the board, offensively, defensively. Now it goes to Seattle to play a tough Seattle team staring straight at the possibility that the Titans could be 0-2 and facing an uphill climb to try to get back to the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, Adam, so much excitement around this team as they get Julio Jones. They still got Derrick Henry, Dan. What stood out to you from the offensive side?
It's funny Shefty brings up Arthur Smith and Todd Downing because my first note with the Titans game was, were you too committed to who you were once were, you know, as an offense? Mm-hmm. You know, Arthur Smith's, one of his strengths was that they were going to stay who they were no matter what the game was. They weren't going to let the game dictate to them what they were going to do. And that's you just first down run after first down run after first down run against the Cardinals. And what it led to in the first half, on second down, this team averaged in yards to get 7.6 yards. Ooh. So you're talking, you're playing in a way of second and seven, second and eight, second and nine. You know, and it's, I understand that you're trying to be one first down in that first quarter, negative 1 yard. And so they really got to figure out who you want to be and how you're going to become that under Todd Downing. It's going to take some time because it was such a heavy play action team on first down with Arthur. Maybe you're going to be a little bit of that. Maybe you're going to be a little bit more drop back football team. You got to figure out who you're going to be because you can't just try to replicate the Arthur Smith system. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You got to really figure out who you're going to be against under this regime.
Hmm. Keith.
You know, for me, it was looking at them. It was more about their defense. Their defense never really gave the offense an opportunity, a chance. I understand what Dan is saying about this team is a pass-first team, not a run-first team. That is true. It's all smoke and mirrors. But at the end of the day, you've got to utilize that guy in the backfield to get the passing game going. You bring in Julio Jones. Julio Jones caught 3 balls for 20-something yards. You allow that defense allow Christian Kirk, DeAndre Hopkins, and I like calling Mighty Mouse, just dominate them. Yeah. It was ridiculous. It was bad football to watch. And for Vrabel to be a defensive-minded guy, it hasn't been fixed since he's been there.
Yeah.
It really hasn't. I understand they've gone to the playoffs. I understand they have the Chiefs on the ropes. I get all that. But it hasn't been that defense. We kind of give him a pass on the defensive side of the ball, and that it shouldn't be that way.
Exactly. Look, to your point, he was set up to win the Chiefs game from a defensive standpoint. Like, at that point, you stand up as a defense. Here's the thing that bothered me so much about this game. It was so undisciplined from this defense. Kyler Murray runs
Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, Mighty Mouse. Mighty Mouse. Runs a, I don't even know what you call it, D.O., but it's a fake zone, and it's a keeper, a QB keeper. And the end man
down in the red zone?
Yeah, the end man on the line of scrimmage, Key, you know this. Mm-hmm. The end man on the line of scrimmage, shoulders are turned towards the sideline.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Everything you learn about playing football on the end of the line is to keep square until it's an absolute close down to the ball.
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two, A.J. Green runs up the sideline. They're in zone. Yeah. They're in zone. And the DB bites on the underneath route and drops A.J. Green off, and it's a shot in the hole. You go cover zero in the red zone. I'm pissed off about this defense, y'all. You go cover three in the red zone with Kyler Murray. Cool. You want to pressure? You want to get the ball out of his hands? Cool. Tell your DB, don't run up on Christian Kirk and jam in zero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, just keep a little room. And
he's
then
going to run by you.
He going to run by you. And then D-Hop, cover one, okay? You got Byard, a safety, covering DeAndre Hopkins in the slot. DeAndre Hopkins catch a quick pass, spin out, and scores a touchdown.
You're talking about the touchdown, yeah.
No, come on, man. Pressure. Like, so beyond getting beat, people can get beat. This is the league. Bro, competence. That defense was so undisciplined.
Well, and to Key's point, you've got a defensive-minded head coach. You got to think, and Vrabel was really upset after this, rightfully so,
to get that
fixed. Got time for one more thing before we go. Bad, Eagles head coach
good,
Nick Sirianni making
work.
His presence known in the locker room. Listen to this.
That's what you want to see after a game. Like, you work hard to get to that moment, and you want it to. I want them to feel great after a game like that, and celebrate after that, and crave to get that again. So it was good to see Devontae do that. I got to learn that dance, and I'll do that next time.
Dan, you were doing the dance and then you stopped. But if we had taken bets for who was going to try the dance after seeing it, it would have been Dan.
A little bit in the face.
Yeah.
What?
I do look like Sirianni.
No,
me and Devonta.
We're twinsies.
I'm like, what are you looking at? Is there a name for that dance?
Hey, real talk though. Real talk. Like Sirianni in that first game, I was impressed.
Dan,
I don't know how.
Dan,
that's how the dance goes.
The problem is, it's making your pedal pushers like come up even higher on your calf.
You with so them shoes that match the background color.
My shoes are great. We'll see you tomorrow.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.